And what is our objective for the day?
To talk about it.
Okay.
Just to have like conversation. Like, remember when we were in grad school and we just sit around and talk? That's what we're going to do, except we're going to record it.
Okay.
Welcome to This Bible Podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in. Susanna, will you introduce yourself? Tell us kind of where you are, who you are, how you identify, and your pronouns.
Okay. I'm Susanna Bales. My pronouns are she, hers. I am a psychotherapist, a licensed marriage and family therapist in Decatur, Georgia, in private practice, and a retired director of children's ministry in a local Methodist church. And so that's my background. And identity markers beyond that are probably just going to come out in the wash. So
we'll fair enough.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, okay. We're going to take a look at Ecclesiastes 3 verses 1 to 8.
A time for everything is the passage, chapter 3, 1 through 8. There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens, time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So what catches you on kind of first read through here?
Yeah, this is such an all-encompassing passage. I feel like every season of my life that I read it in, different stuff stands out to me.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those passages probably that you live into as you live through different stuff. Like you just kind of collect like a magpie, you know, like magpies will go collect something shiny to put in their nest. Like I didn't understand what this part of the thing meant until I got into my 30s, but now it makes total sense.
I thought this meant this, but turns out right now it means this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think some of the stuff that stands out to me is kind of the gardening metaphors, because like I mentioned since the pandemic, like I've gone back to the land in a really hard way. Like that was my primary like spiritual safe space and like learning how things grow and the kind of glacial patience that's involved with that I had not cultivated earlier in my life. So the idea of like seasons that are interwoven, I think reading this before being a gardener, I read it really linear. Like I read it like kind of the historical passage of time, and I don't read it that way anymore. Some of that is also from getting older, I'm sure. So that the idea of when to plant and when to uproot, I read that, you know, differently, but it also makes me read, a time to kill and a time to heal differently.
Right.
And so I hear that differently. The idea of scattering stones and a time to gather them. Every time I read that verse, I'm always curious about the historical context. Like, I don't know if you are clear on the historical context of that, but like at different times I've thought differently about it. Right now, reading it, having, you know, spent a lot more time thinking about place. I'm thinking about it in terms of like, Sometimes you need to build up boundaries. And that when I think about stones and gathering them, I'm thinking about those stone walls, dry stone walls, that didn't have any mortar or anything. They were just so intentionally put together that they sometimes, if you see them like the English countryside or even up at Biltmore, we went to the Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina's obnoxious monument to private wealth in the United States. But one of the things that they pointed out was the stone wall that runs along the edge of part of the trip in to the see the space. And it's a dry stone wall, and hasn't even had to be attended to in, you know, 100 years. And so, and you go to the English countryside and they're like hundreds of years old. And they just stay in place, and there's a slowness to it and a groundedness to it. And so why an agrarian society 2000 or 3000 years ago might've needed to scatter stones and a time to gather them. What are they building? Cause you're gathering for them for some reason.
Right.
So I still don't know about that, but like, I think about boundary lines, like that actually is a pretty important thing sometimes. And I mean, how do you read this passage today, especially at the end, without thinking about what's going on with Russia and the Ukraine? Like the end there of war and peace. Like,
yeah,
it's a tenuous time coming up with the pandemic too.
I think about, this is less serious than Ukraine, but I think of when I think about scattering stones or gathering them. You talked about place. I also think about, like, there is a time to be rooted and grounded in a place, right? There's a time to stay put, and there's a time to go. I don't know that everybody has the call to go elsewhere physically, but I know for me, it has felt like that in my life, that there are times where it's like, stay here, build some roots. And there are times where it's like, okay, what's next? And so I think about that. And then, I think you're right that in this time for war and time for peace, which has always been hard for me, because I'm a pacifist. And so, like, there is no time for war. So I don't know what that, I don't know if it's saying like there ought to be a time for war, or if what it is saying is like, there will be war and there will be peace, right? If it's just a statement of fact.
I mean, that's how the other ones kind of read. The other ones kind of read of like, this isn't so much permission. This isn't so much endorsement or ordination. This is a statement of things as they are. And that's one of the things I love about Ecclesiastes, right? It's pretty, not to appropriate too much, but it's pretty zen, right? Like, this just is what it is.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have a choice about how you're going to sit with that. You have a choice about what walls you'll build. You have a choice about what places you'll go. You have a choice about what wars you'll start or end. And yeah, I don't know a time in mammalian history, even human history, that didn't involve aggression.
Like, right.
Just part of the chemistry on some level, and often involves borders and walls. And so, yeah. I think that actually oddly is kind of connected to that idea of coming and going, the idea that like when it's time to go and you don't,
right?
Or it's time to stay and you don't know how. Like, I spent the last 2 years learning how to stay in one place. we've lived where we live now for about 5 years, and it's the longest I've lived anywhere since I was 16. I've had 7 zip codes in Atlanta.
That's funny, because I just told Christy, my wife, the other night, I was like, I have lived in this house longer than I've lived in a single place since I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
And I've been there 3 years, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. And it like hits you, and all of a sudden, like, you're like, oh, there's a threshold here. Like, it matters in a way. And that was that kind of realization of like, oh, this is a home, and it's not my home. We don't own that home, but like, it's our home. And that was happening at the same time that I was realizing it was time to retire from doing children's ministry work that I'd done for 11 years. And to just be able to kind of discern the voices and the dreams and the like threads of thought around, like, how do you know when it's time to be done? with something. And if you overstay or you overattach, like that idea again of Ecclesiastes, can you accept what is?
Right.
You can fight with it, but it's going to be a thing.
Right. What will be will be.
Yeah. These things lead into one another. And if you can allow, you can probably head off at the pass some of the more difficult parts of the process. Yeah,
it stands out to me as you say that I think we are obsessed with control and power.
Yeah.
And kind of what this says is like, oh, no, like you don't have control over the seasons. Mm-mm. The season, like, I don't get to decide, like, okay, I'd like it to be 70 degrees and sunny every day. I mean, I do because I live in Silicon
Valley. And you get it a lot of the time.
Where it is often 70 degrees and sunny. Yeah. But, you know, the seasons are.
Yeah.
And so it's how do we live into those?
Yeah. You know, the thinking about the war and peace line, the idea of when you stay in a place long enough, you notice things you wouldn't otherwise notice. And so I don't have a identifier as a pacifist. Like it's not that straightforward for me. I endeavor to follow peace. I will say that. And then I think about like gardening again, like one of these little things that you don't think are gardening things or you don't think are land things, they're abstract things. They're like just war theory, right? But one of the ways that people eradicate ants in their garden beds is to take a scoop of an anthill from one ant hill and scoop from an anthill another anthill and put them together and they will eradicate each other.
Wow.
And so it's an organic method of pest control.
That's wild.
I had no idea about that. And so like, I think when I read things like Time for War, like I think about like natural phenomena like that in a different way. And it is what it is. And so it's just a weird situation. Just kind of like picking up and noticing the different stuff that's happening. And if you let yourself live seasonally, I think that's a great call of our time and like a moral imperative. Like I feel as strongly about like us living to like into the space we're actually supposed to take up as a real moral imperative. I feel that it's stronger than a lot of other like moralist stances. But yeah. Like this idea of forbearance was never a term that I like really thought a whole lot about. But I just finished reading The Unsettling of America by Wendell Berry, which was like written in the 70s. So a lot of it's really dated. I don't think he necessarily meant to like talk about forbearance a lot, but that word kept coming up and it came up on the heels of going through the season of Advent where I was in a small group. And one of the other people in the small group just pointed out, just like anecdotally just said that there was a difference between surrender and submission or surrender and obedience. And I was like, I don't do any of those three words. None of that's on my list of things to do. But when she pointed it out like that, it was really interesting to me. So I kind of collected that word of like, okay, obedience for me has always meant participation. And yeah. Sometimes participation does mean surrender of control.
Sure.
And like, I just never really absorb that. And then I ran into this idea of forbearance. And like we've been saying forbearance, you know, like spiritual gifts and stuff, for it's always been in the vocabulary. But the idea of like we are the most powerful force on the planet right now, for good or ill, for whatever it's going to be. So forbearance is going to have to be more important than we ever give it credit for. And so I a lot of times when I like sit with this passage, now I'm like sitting with it of like, can you just be part of the story? You spent 2,000 years making the story about you. What if you make yourself part of the story?
Right.
And I think that means living smaller in a lot of ways.
This has been a joy. I love talking about the Bible with my friends.
Yeah. And it's so good to see your face.
Yeah, you too. Will you give us a prayer?
Sure. Let's pray. God of the seasons, God of the already here, God of the not yet. We are figuring out how to forbear, and we are doing it clumsily. Help us do it in the way that you would invite us to do it. Help us participate and not control. Help us join in to all of the seasons. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, friend.
Yeah, good to see you. I hate that we're a coast away.